This presentation has been previously broadcast.
Three after. It's good to be here with you. Let's pray. It's so good to stop and pray. I love this. This is refreshing to me. I don't know if you feel the same way. It's always good just to turn to God. I was at Mass early this morning today and had an opportunity just to pray. It's my daughter's birthday today, so Andrea Marie, if you're listening, happy birthday, sweetheart. She's my little Marine. She's now out, and so proud of her, and I just want to pray for her. She's been my wife and I had three boys first. We thought we were going to be, you know, boy parents, and boy, 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 and then all of a sudden, you know, we're in the OR, and I was in there with my wife, and I'm like, it's another boy. And the doctor's, not so fast, Dr. Dad. He's like, it's a girl. I'm like, oh. But what a blessing. You know, I love having the mix of three sons and two daughters, and God's been good that way. So I want to pray for her, and I want to pray for your intention. I want to continue to pray for Matt Dunbar and his wife, really going through a very difficult time. Matt, we're praying for you. I hope you know that. And I love this this email that came in here. This person says, look, I knew about your Divine Mercy chaplet through my brother-in-law. Even though I liked the concept, I was lukewarm about it. I love the honesty. Yeah, that's just a prayer, right? So I prayed the chaplet a few times, once with my family around my sister-in-law who was dying. But I just read your book, Drew, and I am converted to a complete believer. I am so grateful for that book. Thank you for sending it to me. I'm going to start praying the Divine Mercies Chaplet today, and I'm looking forward to next year's Divine Mercy Sunday. May God bless you. I know a lot of people are waiting for the book. I check my emails. It's coming. If you haven't gotten it yet, the first 50,000, 60,000 are out. You should be getting it. Every day I'm hearing from more people that are getting it. So I just want to let you know, but please don't call the office, okay? Do not call. It's on its way. If you signed up, I promise you, you're going to get one, okay? You will certainly get it. It's going to be in your mailbox soon, or in your front door, however you get your mail. This person wrote, Drew, could you please pray for Sonia? She's currently pregnant. She's in the hospital with COVID. She's a pro-life speaker in our area. She's done much for our community. Could you please pray for her and her unborn baby? We'll certainly do that, especially battling COVID. Another person says, could you pray for a 27-year-old man who was mauled by a pit bull 3 days ago? He is now on life support, and he's in critical condition. How bizarre is that, right? 27-year-old man mauled by a pit bull. And those are good dogs, too. I mean, everybody says, a pit bull, they're terrified of them. They're actually pretty smart dogs. But, yeah, I mean, they've got jaws that are unbelievable. So let's pray for him. He says, can you pray for the family? They're asking for prayers. It's a very difficult decision whether or not they're going to remove life support from this man. Please lift him up and his family during this difficult time. And we don't know the day or the hour, do we? I mean, this man was almost mauled to death, and he may be called home. So let's offer our chaplet for him in this final hour. We know what the Lord said about praying for the sick and dying. This could mean a difference in their eternal state. The salvation of certain souls depend on our entreaties, our Lord told St. Faustina. Another person said, look, I'm praying, I'm asking for prayers at 3 today for my daughter, Haley. She's interviewing for a job that if she gets it will help her financially. Please pray that it puts her in the presence of people that will bring her back to the faith and help her see her future husband. May I say that in Jesus' name. Marsha, okay, we're going to pray for Haley. Do me a favor, pray for my daughter. She just had a job interview too. We're waiting for that call back, so we'll lift that up. And Patrick, did you say you had something you want to pray for?
Yes, she unfortunately couldn't stay on the air, but we had Haley from Tennessee. She's calling for a senior in high school who in Tennessee who tried to take his life this morning.
Oh, wow. Oh, we'll definitely pray for that. Such serious intentions. Wow. And we'll pray for all those who are thinking about harming themselves or maybe even taking their lives. In the studio with us is Amy. She prays every Tuesday with us. And Amy, anything you want to pray for?
Yes, I'd like to pray in Thanksgiving for a wonderful pledge drive last week and always for my family.
Amen. Pray for our family. And I want to pray for you, too, for everyone who donated in our pledge drive. We're so grateful for you. And I just ask that God returns your generosity. And, of course, for those who could not afford to donate, we pray for you. And I want to pray for all of our society members, St. Gabriel, St. Joseph, all those beautiful society members that support Relevant Radio on a regular basis, too, that God will bless you. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right, we'll take our first call this afternoon from Ed, who's listening to us in San Jose, California. Hey, good afternoon, Ed.
Good afternoon. I have a friend, Lucy. She has apparently it's inoperable, or the doctors are afraid to operate a cancer. She's been on chemo for a year and a half now. It appears to be getting worse. So anyway, please pray for her.
Yeah, we'll certainly do that. I'm grateful for you calling, Ed. Let's pray for you too, okay? I know you probably have your own intentions. And Lord, I give you cancer. I give you those inoperable tumors. I give you those diagnoses that have been given right now to many, and the outlook does not look good. And Lord, I just pray for your will to be done first and foremost, but I also pray for your greater glory, for the power of this chaplet, so many may come to believe and trust, for miracles for those now seeking it, that those tumors shrink and disappear, that those cancerous cells disappear, that those health conditions and financial conditions reverse. And we pray, Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, our next call today comes from Paul, listening in Milwaukee. Paul, how are you today?
Good. How are you doing?
All right, hanging in there.
Yeah, my friend Lori called yesterday with some sad news. Her uncle, who was a priest, Father Bill, with a Palatine organization here in Milwaukee, passed away of cancer this past Sunday.
How tragic. Well, let's lift him up then. And how are your eyes, Paul? You're the guy who has the eye vision problems?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Still day-by-day situation. Still hoping for, you know, a remedy.
Good. Well, good. You hang in there, okay? You keep trusting.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
You got it, Paul. We'll pray for Father Bill, especially, who passed away this past Sunday. We'll pray for Paul. I remember Paul's calls in the past. He's been very faithful in asking God for mercy for the eye. You know, he's got vision problems. So, Lord, I ask for restoration of anyone who's having issues with their eyes right now. I pray for those who are approaching death, especially, that you will come as a merciful Savior, not the just judge. And I pray for those who've gone before us, especially those who have died, those who are now in purgatory, as we pray, Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
So, who's up next? Yvonne? All right, let me go to Yvonne in California. Hi, Yvonne.
Yes.
Hi.
Hello. Hello. Hi, Drew. I got your book. Thank you.
Oh, I'm so happy for you. Thank you.
I wanted to offer prayers for my husband. He's been diagnosed with Parkinson's about 30 years ago.
Oh, wow.
He was diagnosed as a young man. And just lift him up and for him to be open to the Holy Spirit to come back to our church. And for my brother who has mesothelioma, that he will get through this. And for the prayers of protection of my family, especially my children, that they'll be open to the church as well. Thank you, Drew.
You got it. Let's pray for you right now, Yvonne. Sorry, man. A lot of health issues. A lot of trials there. Certainly want to lift up your brother who needs healing, or your husband with Parkinson's. I can't imagine having it that long. Of course, John Paul II succumbed to it. Lord, again, I pray for any degenerative, any debilitating, any life-altering diseases. I pray for every one of Yvonne's intentions, and in particular for conversion. We pray for those who are away from the faith, those who do not need you, those most in need of your mercy right now, Lord. I lift that up to you. And I just ask, Lord, I know that you've said that trials and tribulations so often offer us a chance to make reparation for our past faults, our failures, or sins. And I know quite often you come in like a physician to heal the wounds left by our sins. And I think it was St. Augustine of Hippo who said, tribulation is the divine medicine. I ask for your healing. I ask for your mercy and your forgiveness for those who are calling on it right now, those who made mistakes, those who are most in need of your mercy. Let their tribulation be a divine medicine. May you be the merciful Savior as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us. And on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Pat is listening in Scottsdale, Arizona. Hey, Pat. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call and for sending me the book. My prayers are for my brother-in-law, Eric, who has stage 4 lung cancer, but the clinical trial he's in has enabled him to go back to work, so
wow.
Thanksgiving for that.
Praise God.
His 23-year-old son has an inoperable brain tumor,
wow.
But radiation has shown that it has not grown. So Thanksgiving for that. And for my husband, Tom, who's had Parkinson's also for a very long time. And people don't know this about Parkinson's, but it has a myriad of different symptoms that can be very strange until they finally nail it in to Parkinson's. Thank you so much.
Hey, Pat, thank you very much. And it seems, again, this current running through the show, these tumors. Lord, I pray for tumors and Parkinson's and we pray for cancer, especially for stage 4 cancer and those who are battling it. And if it is through medicine, if it's through radiation treatment, immunotherapy, if it's through chemo, if it's through some other means, Lord, that you want to bring about healing and restoration, we thank you for that. I pray for a cure to cancer. I pray for those who are in the fight with it now, and I pray in particular for their loved ones who suffer in their own way. But I lift up Pat. I lift up all the intentions that we just heard. I pray for those who have suffering from strokes. Lord, you know the maladies that so many people are enduring. So I give you the body, and I also give you the heart and the soul. So many people wounded deeply, emotionally and psychologically, whose hearts are broken, battling anxiety, depression, and other problems. I bring you these souls, and oh, divine physician, I implore you, bring healing to them. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, our next call, and I'll see if I can sneak a couple in here before we start our next deck. And Judith is listening in Los Angeles. Good afternoon, Judith.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, hi. Go right ahead, Judith.
Pardon?
Go right ahead. Go right ahead. We're here for you. Judith,
I'm trying to ask for prayer for my
grandson. Judith, I'm going to put you on hold just 1 second, okay? My call screener will talk to you. We'll get right back to you, I promise you. Okay, let me go to Steve in Pennsylvania. Steve, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. I was calling for prayers for my friend Mark, who passed away on Mother's Day and was actually found by his mother on Sunday morning. Also for my friend Tammy, who's battling brain cancer, and my friend John is a 57-year-old man that's being sent home today on hospice with pancreatic cancer. And I also want to pray for all the prayer warriors, as a prayer, a lot of people know to reach out to us, and I've really been struggling the last couple of weeks with this. So I want to pray with pray for everybody who holds the burdens of these intentions.
All right. Well, look, Steve, we're going to pray for you. I know it's difficult. Hang in there, okay? And know that it's providential you got through today. You have your spiritual family praying for you. And so often it's not just this few moments that we pray, but it is it's throughout the day. It's later. And I'll remember you and these intentions in my prayers. And, you know, if pain and suffering have come into your life, Mother Teresa says it's a sign that you've come close to God. You know, and remember pain, sorrow, and suffering, she says, are but the kiss of Jesus. And no matter what we suffer, no matter how little it is, for God's sake, it doesn't pass without merit in the sight of God. So carry your cross. Embrace it. I want to pray for, again, cancer today. Pray for those on hospice, those who are being called home in this moment, those who have died suddenly, as Steve has just voiced. And I want to pray for Steve and all those who are surrounded by difficulty and trials and hardship. Lord, I ask and implore your mercy on these souls. Send them rays of your mercy. Send them joy and light. Let them feel your presence in a very powerful way. I want to pray for Jim, my call screener. His wife is battling cancer, and it's been a battle for them and for their family. And I just want to pray that God's divine touch will touch her as well, and that this trial that they've gone through for such a long time can become a memory and can be history. We pray for their move, too. He's considering a transition, and he finds the right place. We pray for financial blessings and all those who need it. Let me sneak back to Barbara again, who is waiting. She's in Los Angeles. Barbara, I'm sorry about that. I think we had a bad connection, but it's good to have you with me. How can we pray for you?
This is Barbara. Is it me you're picking up, Drew?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, great. This is a child custody issue. A little different from what we've been praying for today,
sure.
But my grandniece, who is 11, her mom and dad are not married, but they've been both having shared custody. Right. And the dad is argumentative, yeah. And he's got some concerns. And his dad is a negative guy, very influential in his life. So I'm just praying for God's mercy to just come in and bring healing to that family of every single member and protect the child. Child Services has stepped in at this moment. I don't know all the details, right. But it's probably anger is my guess. He gets angry. It's not, I don't think it's violence. It's just his, right. His verbal anger, and the little one's only 11. So God's sad. will be done. Where is the right place for the little one to Amen. Live in peace and have the best parenting?
Barbara, thanks for calling. Thanks for getting that intention here. And I want to pray for your grandniece, and we pray for this custody battle. We'll pray for all those who are going through this, all those children of divorce that are suffering from the collateral damage of that, all those who are in custody battles right now. And Lord, you promised St. Faustina in Diary Entry 754 that souls who say the chaplet will be embraced by your mercy during their lifetime, especially at their death, but during their lifetime. I ask you to embrace this family. I ask you to embrace everyone who's online with me right now, praying with me, everyone who's written to me, and all those right now who are crying out to you. Embrace us in your mercy. Hear these prayers as we turn to you. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
Saint Patrick,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopochko,
pray for us.
All you holy souls in purgatory,
pray for
all
us.
All you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Thank you for praying. Please tell others about the chapel. Please write to me with your answered prayers. I know God is hearing these prayers. Please send me your petitions, because I love praying for you. And stay with me. I'll be right back.
The Drew Mariani Show. The issues that matter most right here on Relevant Radio.
Thanks for joining me today. It's always fun to pray with you. I'm so grateful for that opportunity. You know that, though. And I'd ask for your prayers, too. I could certainly use those. And I certainly need those, too. My next guest, who's going to be joining me in a minute, Dr. Robert DiBali, I'm sure he can do the same thing. We text back and forth every once in a while. And he's involved in a great mission. He's establishing a shrine dedicated to the unborn women who've lost children through miscarriage, through abortion. And I told him, I said, you know, so often the works of God, when you're involved in a holy and noble work, they're met with great opposition. The greater and the more beautiful work, the greater the storm, St. Faustina wrote. And all the saints wrote this. I mean, they all had these encounters. They come to know this. I've seen it in my own life. So he's a very gifted physician who I've invited to stop by. He practices infectious disease in the northwest suburbs of Chicago. If you ever want to tap into his genius, just look him up. I'm not quite sure how you do that, but you can probably find him online. And just a good guy. And feel free to join us anytime. If you want to dial in, it's 888-914-9149. I saw a story you've got to hear about, okay? I want you to be in on the know on this. And it deals with perhaps a strain of the coronavirus that could be resistant to vaccines. Have you gotten your shot? You know, have you been vaccinated? And if you have been, you know, what does that mean with these variants? You know, are you now bulletproof? Well, that's a big question, isn't it? That's a big question. India right now is facing a massive COVID problem. And you've probably seen it in the news. The death toll there is staggering and really is tragic. You know, lack of oxygen, a whole lot of other issues. And there's worry about now an Indian variant, which has spread to multiple countries. Here's a report from Channel News Asia. Listen.
Another COVID-19 strain has been elevated to a variant of global concern. The fast-spreading mutation was first found in India last year, and it's believed to be what's fueling the surge in the country.
There is some available information to suggest increased transmissibility of B1617, and as such, we are classifying this as a variant of concern at the global level.
Three other strains from Britain, South Africa, and Brazil have already been given the same classification. But preliminary studies show the India variant spreads more easily than the others. It's already spilled beyond borders to more than 30 countries, with the Philippines the latest to report infections.
The spread of variants, increased social mixing, the relaxation of public health and social measures, and inequitable vaccination are all driving transmission.
Experts are still studying how infectious the variant is and whether it is responsible for India's crisis. Also in focus, whether the strain might be resistant to vaccines.
What we know now is that the vaccines work, the diagnostics work, the same treatments that are used for the regular virus work, so there's really no need to change any of those.
At least 15 places have already blocked travel from India in a bid to curb the spread.
Yeah, so a lot going on COVID news. We'll take your calls, too, for Dr. Tabali if you want to join us. 888-914-9149. Yesterday, the FDA, they approved the use of the Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine for kids. They could be now vaccinated between 12 and 15. And before this, you know, it was only for use in people that were 16 and older. So the CDC, they still have to give its final okay on the use, but that's expected to happen in the next couple of days, which could mean that the kids are now lining up for shots Thursday or Friday. Also yesterday, the pharmaceutical company Novavax, and I want to talk to Dr. Tabali about this, they announced Monday that they saw some promising results in a preclinical study of a test shot that combines the vaccine for the seasonal flu and COVID-19. I think that's the future of these shots. I think that's what we're going to see. But just back to the India issue very quickly, and then I want to get Dr. Tabali's take on it, and of course you can join us too. Those shots are really going to be needed in India, as officials there believe that there's a new strain that's causing a lot of problems with this current outbreak taking place around the country. You know, the number of U.S. cases leads the world, and the number of new cases is now declining significantly, but India is catching up to us with those new daily case rates, more than 430,000. Of course, they're a much bigger population than us, too. But the World Health Organization believes that the new strain there is the primary cause of the new cases, and they actually believe that it could be a matter of global concern. So, you know, you think you're getting out of the woods on this thing. You're seeing light at the end of the tunnel, and next thing you know, there's a variant. You know, officials believe that the new strain could be resistant to vaccines. I cannot stress that enough. I really want to get Dr. Tabali's take on it. Can these new variants be resistant to these vaccines? And what's that mean? You need a new vaccine, another shot, another battery of shots? You know, and the reason I'm saying this, a number of people who have come down with this Indian variant, they have been fully vaccinated. You might think, oh, I'm safe. Are you? I don't know. There's concern that some of the vaccines that India used, you know, apparently some of those were made in China. And scientists are saying that their effectiveness it's been hit or miss. One study on the Chinese vaccines done in Turkey found it to be about 83% effective. But another one done in Brazil, check this number out. They found it to be about 50% effective. So that's a pretty big swing. Here for his expertise and really his knowledge on this issue and to take your calls is none other than the great Dr. Robert Tabali. Doctor, good afternoon.
Well, Drew, it's great to be with you, and I'll be saying some things here today that people won't hear anywhere else for a couple of weeks, but they'll hear them in a couple of weeks from now. But, you know, it's very interesting what's going on in India. India actually shifted their position from an early intervention with what you might call non-traditional therapeutics like hydroxychloroquine, where they would hand that out to people in an area where there was an outbreak. They shifted away from that type of intervention to what we could call late intervention with, you know, dexamethasone and intravenous remdesivir and so on. And unfortunately, remdesivir has, you know, it's the intravenous treatment. It's not really shown to be of tremendous benefit. But there's a lot of folks that think that this shift in trying to get early intervention with what you might call questionable agents and shifting towards late intervention has been a downfall in India. And so that may be a complicating factor. Well, certainly that new strain with its attributes could be a complicating factor. Now, there's been many dozens of Indian medical personnel that have been infected with COVID in this wave, and they had the AstraZeneca-Oxford vaccine, and they have uniformly done quite well. They've had mild illness, not severe illness. So, you know, testing in India is not as good as it is in the United States. It's not really available. So we just don't have the data at hand to understand what's happening there. There was a kind of a famous occurrence. An Indian gentleman, about 81 years old, a infectious disease doctor, actually, in New Jersey. He went back to India. He had been fully vaccinated for a couple of months, went back to India to help take care of his family there with this wave. And he actually, after 2 weeks of being ill, died from presumed coronavirus. But again, you know, in India, we don't have the testing available there like we do here in the United States. So these are all like interesting anecdotes, but we don't really know what happened. He might have had something else. But the vaccines probably right. do afford significant cross-protection against this Indian variant. I don't want to make people too nervous about it. But what's happening in India with this variant is, what's really of concern, is that people that are on the ground there are seeing something different than they saw before, months ago when they had the first wave. They're seeing young people get sick and die, and they're seeing children get sick and die.
What are the symptoms? Are the same symptoms as most COVID patients, or is it a little bit different?
Same symptoms. In India, there's a lot of undiagnosed underlying medical problems like kidney disease and diabetes.
Yeah.
They can have more rapid courses with it because of the underlying what we call comorbidities. In fact, they've been relying on steroids so much over there, and the population may be diabetic that the sugars are going out of control. Right. And they've been having actually an increase, although it's uncommon, they've been having an increase in a fungal infection called mucormycosis, which occurs in the sinus cavities and is in the best of hands, in the best hospitals in the United States, it has an extremely high mortality. So, but the climate there and the humidity and everything kind of leads to exposure to these type of fungal agents. And so that's not that's not something people here in the United States need to worry about, that it's associated with that those variants. But the emergence of the variants are very unusual. Huh. The California variant that we have here in the U.S., that has consistently one mutation consistent with this Indian variant, but the Indian variant has at least one other mutation. And it's starting to be seen all over in countries far distant from India as well.
So with the Indian variant right now that is getting a lot of attention, a lot of news, is there another reason for the spread, maybe because of the ineffectiveness of the Chinese vaccine? How effective is that? As I was mentioning, you know, we see an efficacy rate of 50% in Brazil when it was tested. You know, Turkey found it to be 83% effective. That's a pretty big swing. Is that contributing to this? And what do you know about that Chinese vaccine? Because I know that there are some nations now getting it.
Well, I do some consulting work for a non-governmental organization that has folks in about 34 countries around the world, and a lot of them are kind of forced to take the Chinese vaccine. But the Chinese vaccine is really pretty worthless. I mean, wow. In a word, it's not helpful. They basically take COVID and they inactivate it, and that's their vaccine.
Sure.
All these other vaccines that are developed in the Western world are very innovative, so to speak, and engender immunity at a very high level. But that Sinovac and Sinopharm vaccine, which are were actually being remanufactured, or I should say manufactured in plants in India, they got licensed to do that. They actually were making their own, as well as getting them from outside. They've been relying on that, plus the AstraZeneca vaccine, which they've been making in their own plants as well. But they, with all that, they have far less than 2% of their population vaccinated. Vaccination is not common there. And they thought they had won the battle because they had beat back that first wave. And so they had elections and election rallies all over the country. And they had kind of close packing of people shoulder to shoulder, and people, as they do in election rallies, yelling and, you know, screaming for their candidates and stuff like that. And it's thought that this actually helps spread these variants, or, you know, the coronavirus, and helped precipitate the second wave. It's kind of tragic. One of the states in India now is pushing forward with its own program. In Mexico City, there was the use of ivermectin, and that actually helped control the epidemic in Mexico City. They developed these kits where they had like 5 days of ivermectin and some dexamethasone, and they would give it to people when they tested positive for coronavirus. And there was a precipitous drop, almost like the wave in Mexico City hit a wall and just fell right down to the ground. And now one state in India is starting that same type of program, where they're going to be dispensing ivermectin, which has had a lot of notoriety. They're going to be dispensing ivermectin and dexamethasone early to try to break the back of the epidemic, similar to what happened in Mexico City.
Yep.
Now, the ivermectin is made locally in India. It's very cheap, and there's no money from a pharmaceutical standpoint. So it'd be kind of interesting to see the dynamics of this. But, you know, I think that intervention is really kind of courageous for that state to do, and I hope it works. Now, ivermectin, there's been some study where it seems to affect the potentiation of coronavirus inside a cell by changing the calcium is used inside a cell as a messenger to open things and turn things on and turn things off biochemically, and the ivermectin appears to affect the calcium within the cell, which is believed to be the mechanism of action. And it is active in a test tube or in a petri dish against the virus in cells, in human cells. So it'd be very interesting to see what happens there. I hope it helps.
Right. My guest, Dr. Robert Tabali, we're taking a look at COVID-19 and the efficacy of some of the vaccinations that are out there, and a new strain in India and a couple other strains that seem to be somewhat resistant to these vaccinations. And I'll take your calls. Therese in, is it Monrovia, California? Stay with me. We'll come back. We'll get yours. She's got a question that I have actually been thinking about, Doctor. She's asking about the Novavax vaccine. And that's something that you've mentioned in the past. It's ethical. There's talk now, I think, of it being coupled with the flu vaccination. So we'll find out the latest on that. And we'll take all your calls for Dr. Tabali when I return.
The Drew Mariani Show. Connected. Connected. Relevant Radio.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
At all the news and issues of the day. News and issues of the day. Right now. Right now. This is the Drew Mariani Show, getting you connected on Relevant Radio.
That's right. Trying to keep you in the know. New York restaurants are about to get a COVID surcharge on their bills when dining out, all thanks to COVID-19. I know you're listening in New York. You love eating out. Who doesn't, though, right? Now they're starting to gripe about the coronavirus surcharge. It could add up to 10%. to your final bill. A lot of things happening. Novavax says that they've got a combo flu and COVID-19 vaccine that's showing promise in preclinical studies. On the line with me is Therese. She's got a question regarding, I believe, that vaccine. And our guest today, Dr. Robert Tabali, a very gifted infectious disease doc. Therese, good afternoon.
Thank you. Thanks for taking my call. I am wondering how we can keep up on the information on Novavax so that we can find out when it comes out. And also, I think I heard it was good for people that have autoimmune diseases like myself. Is that true? And
all right. Great. Well, Therese, thanks.
That's a great question. The messenger RNA vaccines, the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines, tend to actually, they're so stimulating of the immune system that they can actually enhance autoimmune activity. Am I on the air?
Yeah, Bob, you're on the air. Go right ahead. Oh, no.
Okay. Okay. And the Novavax is considered to be far less likely to do that. The early word, they don't have published data out yet, but the early word is that the adverse reactions associated with the Novavax are probably going to be less than they were in the messenger RNA vaccines. Now, the Novavax is the early data shows that it's just about as effective, 91 to 95% effective in engendering immunity. But it's a different type of vaccination. And so what it is, it's a protein-based vaccine. There's no live virus in it like in the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. And it doesn't cause your body cells to make the spike protein like the messenger RNA vaccines do. What the Novavax is, it's basically what they call a protein vaccine. And I liken it to having a tennis ball with a bunch of nails sticking out of it, the nails being the spike protein that is what the virus uses to attach to your human cells. And it's a different class of vaccination. I believe that with all the attributes that it has, that it'll probably become the major vaccine over time. We are going to be seeing these vaccines regularly for a number of years, and the combination of the Novavax with the flu vaccine may be, what is the what is to come in the future. Now, I was under the understanding that Novavax was going to drop their data to the FDA by May 7th, but I just searched it on Google, and I see an article from Bloomberg stating that they're deciding that they are not going to drop their data until June. So I myself have not been vaccinated yet because I've had coronavirus at least twice, I believe. First time very severe, second time not so much. But the Novavax is the vaccine that I was hoping to wait for to get vaccinated. And
all right. I hope that helped, Therese. Thank you. The Novavax, Doc, are they going to be partnering up with the flu vaccine? We have seen no flu this year, practically, but when you go to get your physical or you go to get your flu shot, will Novavax have a flu/COVID-19 vaccine?
I think that's one of the holy grails of this whole vaccine delivery for this. I think everybody's going to be trying to reformulate and commingle their vaccine with an influenza vaccine, if at all possible. Pfizer's just announced that they're actually going to be putting their vaccine in a different carrier so that they won't need the ultra-low temperatures. They can use just a standard refrigerator, and their vaccine will be stable for about 6 months. And right now, I think it's stable for less than a month. So they're all trying to enhance their products to make them more usable and more kind of uniform. A year from now, I think we're all going to be expected, in our places of work to get an influenza vaccination and a coronavirus vaccination. People are only going to want to get one shot.
Right.
They're all going to try to unify these products together.
All right. So Sarah is listening in Illinois. Sarah, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
So I really have two quick questions. One is, I was diagnosed, and just today, back in October, and just today, I got results from my antibody test saying that I do have the antibodies. So I'm wondering, it doesn't seem like anybody's talking about, it seems like I should not get the vaccine now, but am I not going to be able to do things like travel, or can I have a card or some way to prove that I have the antibodies so I don't need the vaccine?
Well, that's a good question. A lot of people have that question. But right now, in order to travel internationally, even if you've had a vaccination, you have to get a PCR test within 72 hours before your international flight for most countries. Some countries don't force you to do that. Your antibodies, don't be surprised if you went back in another couple of months and had your antibodies checked and the antibodies aren't there anymore. There's two arms of the immune system, the humoral arm, which is the antibodies, and the natural killer T-cell arm, which is where the really, really long-standing immunity rests. Now, the T-cells are the ones that get depleted in conditions like HIV, but those cells remember how to kill this virus for decades, many decades. So if you were to get a messenger RNA vaccine, there's data on this. Probably only one dose of either the Pfizer or Moderna would be needed for you. And what they found was that the antibodies rose 140 times, an average of 140 times the level of antibody after one dose of the Pfizer vaccine. And the T-cell activity rose kind of in parallel, tremendous enhancement of the T-cell activity. So the one single dose of the vaccine would be a very strong immune intensifier. Mm. Now, they have not amended the vaccine schedule, so to be fully vaccinated, you'd have to have two vaccines. But one vaccine is probably all anyone needs if they've had natural COVID infection.
There you go. Thank you, Sarah. I appreciate the call. I'm going to move along just because of time. Mary is listening in California. Mary, good afternoon.
Yes, how are you doing, Ed? For Dr. Tavali, there is a polio vaccine study going on, and it covers COVID. When the vaccine is given in about 28 days, it makes some kind of blanket immunity, and it's happening in San Diego. They are looking for people to test it since November. I don't phone number, but it's EMO Biology in San Diego, California, and it makes in 28 days it covers for COVID, and it's something with a homologous structure of polio and COVID. They're the same on some kind of end. It's very similar, and that's why it works. And I got the polio vaccine. My doctor said it was not contraindicated for me to get, and I've been worried about the moral issues with the vaccines that are out now. So I have to find out what I have to do next, I think, to make it work for my work. I have to get tested for something to show something. But it's a true study, and it's since November 2020, and no one seems to know about it.
All right, Mary, let me hold you on that point because I want doctors to respond to that. I've never heard of that doctor. Moral vaccines, too. Novavax is in the clear in that category, too, right? There's no relationship to any sort of evil act, right?
Well, it's my understanding that, it's clearly not manufactured. It's not developed or manufactured using mm-hmm. the aborted fetal cell lines, tissue cultures. But similar to the messenger RNA vaccines, fetal cell lines were used to test the vaccine.
All right.
Initially, looking for cellular damage, genetic damage, and
All right, it's good to know. So, to polio, that's something I've never heard before. I don't know if you're aware of that. What do you know?
I really don't know. I just Googled it while she was talking, and it's interesting to me. I had not heard of it. I mean, trying to grab the data on this coronavirus, it's not like drinking out of one fire hose. It's like drinking out of five fire hoses. Yep. So, but this is very interesting. I'm going to look into it, but I don't know anything about it.
Mary, thanks for putting that on our radar. I appreciate it. We'll look into it and try to figure out what's going on. Here's an important question. Brandon in Chicago, thanks for calling us.
Hi, Doctor. Hi, Drew. I have a two-part question. The first part is, so myself and my wife are vaccinated with the Moderna, But we're in agreement that we don't want to get our kids vaccinated. I have three kids under 10. I'm a little worried about the long-term side effects of an mRNA virus. I'm sorry, mRNA vaccine right. in a small kid. But I was a little concerned when you said that kids were dying in India of coronavirus. And the second part...
All right, well, Brandon, let me just hold you on that point because I only have a minute. Doctor, can you respond to the vaccination of kids under 10?
Well, right now they're studying that, but the vaccine was just approved for children from 12 to 15. So it's ages 12 and up can now receive the vaccine under that emergency use authorization. But under 12, they can't get the vaccine at this time.
All right. Brandon, your second question?
Second question is, I remember about a year ago, I think it was on this show, SARS-type viruses don't mutate as much, so I heard that once we got vaccinated, pretty much it would almost be one and done. I've been looking at the statistics of Israel and the UK, and they've almost achieved herd immunity.
Doctor, you got 20 seconds, so I'll let you respond to Brandon. Brandon, I didn't mean to cut you off.
So the viruses do mutate very, very often. They don't mutate as much as other viruses do, but they're not stable, and so it's not a one-and-done vaccination.
All right, my apologies. I wish I had more time. We'll bring it back. We can talk more. News and headlines are straight ahead. I'll be back on the other side.